Live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, it's the Inside Slant, Rick.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Sunday, week two.
Week two. Drop us a line.
Still not too late to drop us a line here at AsylumFootball@gmail.com. We are Fleeger and Briggs, and we welcome you into the Asylum.
Thank you. Absolutely. Follow us on Twitter, at AsylumFootball. You can get your questions out there, too, as well. Call-in number, 646-478-4679. We'll take your calls throughout the show. And some special news, Rick, starting today, the Inside Slant is being streamed live on the Real Fan Sports Network. Check that out, rfsportsradio.blogspot.com. rfsportsradio.blogspot.com. That's too many dots.
Yeah, well, we just need someone articulate to try to read that.
That may be bigger.
And you know them on Twitter as at rfsportsradio. So that'll take you there if you don't remember all the dot blog spots and all this other stuff.
So check the show out there. Check it out on AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Check it out on Blog Talk Radio. A billion places you can get it, Rick.
That's right. You can find us at Asylum Football on Twitter. And, you know, you can pull us up and it'll take you to AsylumFantasyFootball.com. You can get to anywhere. And drop us a call, line, give us a call. And we got Seth Young coming back on, going to be live from
Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo.
A rough place for a Pats fan to be.
So
yes, indeed. And we got Scott Fish coming on the last 30 minutes at 11 o'clock. And
using
with
the machine. Yes, because you can't trust us to answer your lineup questions, so we'll let the machine do it.
Of course.
So, Rick, let's jump into it. I say we'll just go around the league like we did last week. We'll bring Seth in, we'll bring Scott in, and we'll go. Let's start out recapping what was just a debacle on Thursday night. New England 13, the Jets 10. Boy, not much to speak of, really, in terms of fantasy football. Tom Brady, a very pedestrian, 18 for 39, 185, one touchdown. Stephen Ridley, who I want to talk about, 16 carries, 40 yards. That's all he had there. Julian Edelman, that's a little more interesting. Only 78 yards, but on 13 grabs. So I think in a PPR league, Rick, you're talking Julian Edelman getting out to the point of, at least in the absence of Danny Amendola being an every week start.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a little bit of concern there. You know, after the first week, you know, with the Buffalo Bills actually should have beaten the Patriots, but they did pull it out. You know, then you start wondering, okay, well, you know, they dropped 40-some on the Jets last week. Well, Brady's just liable to kill them.
Yeah, I predicted 118-4. I was
and
a little off
it,
in that prediction.
This could be, I don't know, is this a downfall? Maybe a little bit of the Patriots offense coming to earth a little bit. Is Brady going to be one of these top four or five quarterbacks this year?
It's a good question. I wonder initially when I watch it, obviously the weather was horrible. That always factors in, a driving rain the entire second half. Here's the thing with Tom Brady. He's Tom Brady. I have a lot of concerns specifically about, you saw the back and forth with the receivers, him just losing his mind on his receivers. A lot of, they're just not on the same page, not something Tom Brady's used to. So I wonder, it's a good question, is he a top five kind of guy? Can they put it together? If Amendola's healthy, and that's a big if at any given time, but when he's healthy, they seem to have some chemistry. There's some chemistry there with Edelman, obviously, but showed a lot of frustration towards Dobson and Tompkins and these guys. I don't know how many times you see him just screaming on the sidelines, not used to this adversity. So I'm curious to see as the year goes along, good as a coach as Belichick is, regardless of how I feel about him personally, can they get on the same page? Can he get these receivers on the same page? Are we going to see a little more of this week after week?
I think they really need to see Gronkowski come back, for one thing, and that's going to make a huge difference. And I just, comfort level. You know, Welker's gone, there's a heck of a lot of chemistry right there. Of course, Edelman's been there. But, you know, Gronkowski and let's say, you know, the old Mr. A.H., he's gone as well.
Yeah,
there's a lot of chemistry. A lot of chemistry out of that offense this year, and it just may take a little time to get in there. Look, you got two rookies with Tompkins, Dobson, showing some flashes, but then again, they weren't on the same page with Brady a lot in that game. So
and that's what I
going to take some time.
Yeah, that's what's sticking with me. His reaction to them not being on the same page. Yeah, look, the rookies, you're going to have this. And Tom Brady not used to it and just has no patience for it. And you wonder what's going to happen with that. You look on the Jets side, Rick, just nothing to talk about. Obviously, Geno Smith's not going to be on your fantasy roster. Acquitting himself reasonably well. I mean, no worse than Mark Sanchez would have done. But the only thing worth looking at there is the running back split. And it came out just about even this week, Rick. Chris Ivory, in his opportunities, looked pretty good. 12 carries, 52 yards. Khalil Powell, 13 carries, 48 yards. He gets the touchdown, so he comes out ahead. I think it's only been 2 weeks now. I think this is what you're going to see, Rick. There's going to be a split, and maybe if somebody gets the hot hand, they're going to get more carries. Outside of once we hit bye weeks and you're in a tight spot, I just don't think these guys, as excited as I was about Ivory going into the season, I just don't think either of these guys, you can trust them from a fantasy perspective.
It's tough, and you've got a rookie quarterback. And let's face it, they showed some flashes, but then again, wide receivers making drops out there, and they're just not trustworthy until they get a game or two under their belt and actually show that, you know, you're going to get some points out of these guys. I'm staying away from. Hey, we're going to go before we really get any farther because I'll lose track after a while. I got a few questions from the chat room.
Okay,
let's hit them.
Let's knock them out right now.
And we will take a look at the first one because I don't want to, like I said, more gets in there, you start losing track. Okay, we have a PPR flex question. Ashlon Jeffrey.
I think it's Alshon, but go ahead.
Or Tyler Eifert.
Jeffrey or Eifert?
I'm going to have to go with, this is just me, I think Jeffrey has right now the more upside. He had 5 receptions last week. They're trying to spread it out a little bit. You got Forte. Of course, you got Brandon Marshall. Cutler can wing it. And, you know, they're going against Minnesota this week. Yeah, I'm liking Jeffrey.
Yeah, Eifert I like as a football player. I like him going forward. Look, Gresham got a lot of work last week. He saw a lot of snaps. He got a lot of targets. So Eifert obviously hasn't moved himself up to the top level in terms of targets, and even in being the full number one receiving tight end there in Cincinnati. I think it's going to work out that way, and I think we're going to be talking about him with the names in the top 12 tight ends soon, maybe later in the season, but not right now. Right now, you know Jeffrey's going to be on the field every single down. If Marshall's getting doubled up, if anything happens, I think he's a safer play. I'm not nuts about either of them, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I really like Eifert going forward. I'm like you. And I think Jeffrey's going to pick it up, but let's face it, he's number two. Brandon Marshall's the big dog there. So I don't think you're ever going to get spectacular numbers out of Jeffrey. But for a one-week safer play at this point, I think he's there.
I know he's going to get more snaps, and I think that's where the decision comes down to for me.
Right. Oh, here's one I almost missed. Non-PPR flex. Now, with the hamstring issue, we got Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
And who is a game-time decision, and that makes it always iffy.
That's rough in those 4 o'clock games especially.
Right. Or D'Angelo Williams.
Oh, boy. I like D'Angelo Williams. He going up against Buffalo this week. And I assume that Buffalo game's at 1 o'clock. Yeah, boy, that's tough. Based on that, I think if Larry Fitzgerald was going to be out, we were going to hear about it by now. I want to lean Larry Fitzgerald. It sounds ridiculous to start D'Angelo Williams over Larry Fitzgerald, but I might say to do it just based on that 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock factor. No news has come out on Fitzgerald yet. Keep an eye on things. Hopefully by 12:30, quarter to 1, you hear something more. But in absence of that, I think you have to play D'Angelo just to be safe. With the caveat that if Fitzgerald ends up playing, he's going to outperform D'Angelo, so don't hold that against us. But if you don't know by the time your lineup has to be submitted at 1 o'clock, I think you got to play D'Angelo. Or, Rick, do you go out and sign Andre Roberts, roll the dice with Fitzgerald, and slide him in? That it comes down to those to me. I tend to lean conservative, and I'm going to go.
Here's the point here. After the 97-yard game last week, Andre Roberts is probably on someone's lineup somewhere, so
possibly
we'll take him out of the equation. I like D'Angelo. He's the only guy in town right now running backs. Ben Vereen ran all through Buffalo last week. Or Ben Vereen, is
Ben
that what
Vereen,
I said?
Ben Vereen, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Shane Vereen, I'm sorry.
Let's go with Ben. He will forever be Ben Vereen to me. Who is Ben Vereen? That's somebody. There's somebody named Ben Vereen. Who is that?
Boy, I don't know. I have to look that up. But see, that's one thing. Man is actually not designed to multitask. So when I'm reading things and you see Ben Roethlisberger, you're talking about Shane Vereen.
it turns into Ben
Vereen. But anyway, no, Vereen running through Buffalo like he did last week before the injury. Of course, he played through that. I just like D'Angelo. And I think Cam Newton going to have a big game.
Yeah, I think bounce back big for Cam this week.
I'm almost thinking that D'Angelo Williams is a safer player. You don't even have to worry about him playing.
Safer.
And let's face it, he may outperform Fitzgerald this week.
He very well could, especially with Fitzgerald being banged up. So any more questions there, Rick, or we want to whip it around the league? We need to get a sounder for around the league.
I think we just may go one more.
All right.
Let's see what we got here. Hopefully, if we skip over you, I hope I don't. I mean, there's a lot of activity going here. I know I did see one in here from our buddy Jim Struble, so I wanted to get to that. He has a flex question.
Okay.
And I got to find it here, because every time somebody puts in here, it goes back to the bottom. Here we go. Having a problem with two flex spots in PPR.
Okay. Two PPR flex spots.
Marino, get your pen out.
I got it.
Marino. Joik Bell, Lamar Miller, T.Y. Hilton, and it just went to the problem bottom again.
So
hang on a minute.
Let's start with those. Marino, Joik Bell, Lamar Miller, and Hilton. I think we throw Joik
Kendall
Bell
Wright.
Right. Kendall Wright, okay.
And I think it was Vincent Brown.
Vincent Brown.
Yes.
Okay, Rick. All right. So for me, let's just start eliminating him. Joik Bell's the first one I take out of that list. Kendall Wright, I don't trust that Tennessee offense necessarily. And Vincent Brown, again, I'm not going to trust San Diego. So I've got two spots in a PPR between Noshawn Moreno, Miller, and T.Y. Hilton. That's tough. I think Moreno probably going to go in there number one for me. I think take advantage of him while you can. He not a big week last week. Monte Ball doesn't seem to be getting the opportunity, so I like Noshawn Moreno. So it comes down to Miller and Hilton for me, Rick. That 3-yard performance of Miller.
And they're playing each other.
Yeah, and man, that's so tough. Daniel Thomas is going to continue to get work, Rick. T.Y. Hilton, we were all a dither about him all preseason. He didn't really pan out last week. I'm going to give him one more shot, especially in a PPR format. I'm ready to jump off of Lamar Miller. I was never really on the bandwagon. I'm ready to jump off it already after last week's performance. Until I see it from Lamar Miller, he's going to be on my bench. So give me Noshawn Moreno and T.Y. Hilton.
I think I may I'll agree with you with Hilton. I think the upside's there with Indianapolis, even though it's a tough Miami defense. I'm not liking Lamar Miller splitting time with Daniel Thomas. I'm taking him out of the equation. I'm actually, after the life that San Diego showed last week, that maybe Brown might be a safer play going against Philadelphia. Washington put up some points against that Philadelphia defense. You know, just gambling. Marino's going to get work, no doubt about that. Yeah, they're playing the Giants, who also gave up a ton of yardage the week before. Boy, I tell you, that's a tough one. I'm almost leaning towards Brown, but you know, Marino's right there. Boy, that's a good one. I'm going Brown and Hilton.
All right, so Hilton we've agreed on, and now poor Jim's got to decide on his own between Marino and Vincent Brown. So, Rick, before we whip it around the league, something I wanted to mention off the top of the show. We may have to get out of here a little bit early, or if things seem strange at the end, Rick, I actually had the opportunity at 11:30 Eastern today to be on Fox Sports Radio 1360 with our buddy Dan Claskins. I'm going to jump on there for a quick hitter talking about tight ends. So when our show's over, look that up, foxsports1360.com. Listen to the live stream. If you can't get enough of your boy, Rick Flieger, you can find me there. So check that out. But if you hear me clanging and banging around and Rick stumbling and bumbling without having me to talk to, that's what happened. They called a little earlier than we anticipated.
I will probably have some clear thought and be totally uninterrupted, which may be refreshing.
All right, Rick, let's swing it around the league. Let's start out St. Louis at Atlanta, an interesting game.
St. Louis at Atlanta, that is an interesting game. St. Louis is obviously improving. You know, they've been playing their division awful tough, but obviously Atlanta's not in their division. And I just think Atlanta, they're not going to be staring down 0-2.
No.
So, you know, obviously. But with the Rams, you know, I think you get Sam Bradford in there, depending on what your quarterback options are. If you drafted him low and you got pretty much a similar, you know, say like a Bradford or a Ben Roethlisberger, that sort of team that you may have drafted, if you drafted quarterbacks late, I think Bradford's one to get in there. Definitely get Richardson in your lineup.
Yeah, seems to be healthy, seems he's going to go.
And he seems to be fairly effective. I mean, not a huge game last week, but he's getting the work, and I kind of like him. I think Jeff Fisher's going to rely on him more and more as long as he keeps staying healthy. Boy, I tell you, on wide receivers on the Rams, I'm not sure. Chris Givens, iffy, maybe a flex spot there. You know, that's about as far as I go with the Rams now.
Jared Cook, got to get Jared Cook.
Oh, obviously, yeah, I'm sorry. But we got to quit disrespecting that tight end position.
Yeah, we really
considering the production that you're getting.
What they did last week as a whole. For Atlanta, obviously, Matt Ryan, you're starting. S-Jax, you're getting out there. Roddy White, I don't touch, Rick. He's going to go again. Last week, 2-for-19. I don't trust him. We talked about the tweet he sent out that if he's not practicing, don't play him on your fantasy team. It's a red flag. Going to get the start. Julio Jones, also good to go. Go ahead, get him in your lineup. Basically, Tony Gonzalez, obviously. Atlanta speaks for themselves, Rick. So St. Louis, Atlanta, Rick, who you got? Dramatic pause.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
27-17.
Atlanta, 20, so it wasn't 23-9 or anything. 27-17. I agree, Rick. Atlanta. It doesn't.
In fact, all my crystal ball scores are posted at asylumfantasyfootball.com under the Briggs blog.
Well, if you are in Vegas, run that right up to the window right now. Briggs week two crystal ball.
All right. 10-6 last week, a little rough, but yeah. There were some upsets last
week. I didn't
look back
at mine and see how I did. I know I had the Jets. Remember, I picked that as my upset
special,
so I hit on that. All right, we got to keep her moving. We got Seth in about a half an hour. Cleveland at Baltimore, old school rivalry. Well, not old school. It only goes back about 15 years, but they don't like each other much.
No, Baltimore actually was Cleveland.
Yes,
so,
I'm aware. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not an old rivalry. Right. Look, they got destroyed last week. You know, they're talking about the Ravens, but they're still the Super Bowl champs. You know, my money on who is going 0-2 is probably more on Cleveland than Baltimore. And but I think it's going to be a good game. I like the Ravens 21-14.
All right, do you care to give any type of fantasy preview before you give your scores? Oh, if you remember how we decided we were going to do this before the show.
Well, Cleveland, obviously, you got Trent Richardson in there. You know, it's hard to say, okay, you need to start these guys because you drafted him your number one running back. You better have him in there. Jordan Cameron is a must start. You're talking about the tight end.
You're talking a top 10 tight end. Right?
Exactly. Brandon Whedon. Look, this guy, I think he's going to improve some this year. I mean, he had 327 yards, I believe it was last week. However, his longest completion was 22 yards. They've got to stretch a field. You know, get Gordon back. It may help things out. But they've got to start running the ball with Richardson, who had a bad day. Get him in there. Get Cameron in there. Don't worry about many of the other Browns right now. They'll take care of themselves later on.
Yeah, not a lot in terms of wide receiver that I'm ready to trust just yet. We'll see what happens when Morgan gets back. For Baltimore, Rick, I think this is going to be a big week for Ray Rice. On Dan's show this afternoon, I'm asked to give a stud, a dud, and a sleeper of the week. My stud of the week is Ray Rice. Averages about 97 yards a game against the Browns. Just tortures the Browns. Obviously, you're playing them anyhow, but I expect a big week from Ray Rice. Going around Torrey Smith, go ahead and get him in your lineup. Joe Flacco's nobody you're going to play. And really, sadly, Rick, you know, let's talk about the tight end position. Nothing from Dixon. Dallas Clark, I like. If you drafted, you know, late, you waited too late on your tight ends and you're scratching around. Dallas Clark, for having a bad game, had 7 grabs for 76 yards, I believe it was, or 78 yards. Dropped a short touchdown, which isn't common for him. If you're hurting at the tight end position, and I know it's deeper than ever, I consider Dallas Clark this week. I've actually started him over Kyle Rudolph in a couple of leagues, picked him up and threw him in there. So that's a guy that interests me. Anyhow, Rick, Cleveland at Baltimore, who you got? Or did you already give it?
I already gave it, which I took a lot of heat because I didn't go fantasy first. But 21-14, Ravens over the Browns.
I agree. I see it kind of low scoring, too, and definitely give me Baltimore at home. All right, Rick, Carolina at Buffalo. We will be talking to Seth live from there as the Panthers go into Buffalo.
This is an interesting matchup. Buffalo last week, really competitive against New England. Of course, we started talking about maybe some of New England's woes might have had something to do with that. Carolina, on the other hand, they held Seattle to 12 points, but they only put up 7 themselves. I think things turn around a little bit this week. On the Carolina side, obviously, why am I telling you to start Cam Newton? You're going to have him in there. Steve Smith is a must-start. D'Angelo Williams is a must-start. And I think Greg Olsen also is another one. So there's a lot of Carolina that's going to have some fantasy impact this week, and I think they're going to have their way with Buffalo offensively.
Yeah. On the Buffalo side, C.J. Spiller, I have to assume he's going to bounce back a little bit this week. Clearly not going to bump C.J. Spiller down. Desperate for a tight end, maybe Scott Chandler, Stevie Johnson in a low-end flex spot, I think. I'm not ready. I liked what I saw out of E.J. Manuel last week, but not ready to fully trust him. So I think Stevie Johnson probably a number 3 wide receiver, so depending on the side of your league. The guy I want to talk about, Fred Jackson, if you're in a deep league, if you're in a 16-team league, you're struggling to find a running back, the workload Fred Jackson got in a 16-team league, I wouldn't hate sliding him into a flex position.
I've got him in a flex spot right now in one of my deeper leagues, simply out of the work that he got. Look, he averaged over 5 yards a carry last week. He was more productive than Spiller. Probably not going to be this week, but still. You know, it's more of a split there. We talked about the old Fred Jackson effect, and, you know, this guy's pretty good. They're not going to just sit him on the bench.
No, he's healthy.
And they're going to play these guys probably about a 60-40 clip as long as it works.
Yeah, and I think you're looking at a situation. It's shaping up after 1 week. We'll obviously have to monitor it through the first 3 or 4 weeks of the campaign here. I think you could be seeing a Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams, a Marion Barber, Felix Jones situation where both could be fantasy relevant. Obviously, C.J. Spiller is a number 1 running back, but as a flex play, I think Fred Jackson, maybe you even see him slide up a little further. So, Rick, Carolina at Buffalo, who you got?
I got Carolina 28, Buffalo 17.
Carolina going on the road and winning. I think Buffalo acquitted themselves quite nicely against a New England team last week. Granted, they're probably fired up. That's their Super Bowl every year because they know damn well they're not going to be playing in the real one. But I like Buffalo this week at home, Rick, to get on track. And Buffalo's just in my head. Obviously, you said Seth's there. I stopped to get a sandwich on my way up here. I don't know what's going on here in Western Pennsylvania. It must be because the Steelers are playing on Monday night. There was 4 Bills jerseys in there, which I found odd. So it took it as a sign. I'm going to go Buffalo by a touchdown.
Okay. I just like Carolina's defense a little better than New England's, and I think they're going to I think their offense is going to go right through Buffalo's defense this week. So,
all right, a game we talked about a little bit already, Minnesota at Chicago.
I tell you what, well, we'll talk the fantasy point here. What's there to talk about in Minnesota? Adrian Peterson, I still think you play Kyle Rudolph. He had kind of a down week last week. And look, Christian Ponder is a big question mark. There's no question about that. Percy Harvin's gone. You know, Jerome Simpson had a huge week. You know, it put him in. But I sure wouldn't be expecting those kind of numbers.
No.
You know, I'm still thinking he's a flex spot. He was very inconsistent last week. Look, Greg Jennings is going to get a lot more work. And, you know, it goes through AP. And, you know, the passing game is going to take what it gets. Last week it was Simpson. And they're going to be covering him a lot differently this week. And Chicago's a lot different defense. And that's a dangerous team out there, Chicago Bears. So, you know, limit your expectations on the receiving end as far as Minnesota goes, I believe.
Yeah, no doubt about it. For the Bears, obviously, you're playing Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett, and as your 11, kind of 12 sort of tight end. Alshon Jeffrey, always the question mark with them, Rick. I'm just not buying in. He was the hot commodity last year. It never panned out going into week one. Sounds funny after we just recommended playing him. It's just who he was up against. Alshon Jeffrey in a deeper league. Don't play him over the likes of Dwayne Bowe. I have him on the Stevie Johnson level. I think Jeffrey's a wide receiver three, so play him there accordingly. And I think the play of the week may be the Bears defense. I think Ponder apt to turn the ball over. He can be a little free with the ball. Ball hawking defense. I love the Bears defense this week if we want to talk about that when you're setting your lineup. Although I think if you have the Bears defense, you're starting them every week. So right. Minnesota, Chicago, Rick.
Oh, there's no question about that. You know, I mean, just like I wrote on my blog, Chicago is a dangerous team. Minnesota has Adrian Peterson. I'll take the team every time. Bears 27, Vikings 19.
There we go again, 19. So that's a touchdown, and how many field goals is that? Four field
Eight
goals.
8 points. Not that hard to figure out.
It would be 8 points. That's 9 points.
27 to 19.
Okay. Whatever.
19
Anyhow,
plus 8.
Fair enough.
27.
For some reason.
8 point difference.
Okay, I got you. All right. For some reason, I feel like I want to take Minnesota. I don't know why, but I'm going to check it out. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take Chicago by double digits. So moving on, Rick, here's a game I find kind of interesting.
You want to take Minnesota, but you're going to have them losing by double digits.
Right. They're either going to win or lose by double digits.
Okay.
That's my bold prediction here on the inside slant. So, Rick, an interesting game. I think Washington travels to Green Bay this afternoon.
Yes, they do. And like I mentioned last week, there's going to be I believe it's the Oneida tribe is supposed to protest the Redskin nickname
all
up
right.
there in Green
Good
Bay. So let's all look for that.
So Redskins fans, if you're in Green Bay, bring a potato and tell them it's really not that offensive.
That's true. Look, we got the Washington side. We shouldn't have to talk about RG3, Alfred Morris, Pierre Garçon, and Fred Davis. Temper your expectations, but you've drafted him, probably drafted him as your number one tight end. And so go for it.
Dallas Clark or Fred Davis, Rick?
See, that's interesting. I think right now, you know, you probably have to go Clark.
I think so.
I think so.
I'm down on Fred Davis, not to interrupt, but that is what I do. Here's a guy I always hope he'd slide into.
You're
that.
You're good at it.
I do know that.
Yeah.
I hoped he'd slide into that Chris Coley role. You know, he's the only guy in town. But that offense is just better, and
right.
the tight end doesn't seem to be as big a part of it. Fred Davis, I think, always going to be big down around the goal line. That's where they tend to look for him. But you're not going to see those 8-9 catch games like you saw out of Coley. So Davis, guy I'm high on in his skill set, I just don't think he's utilized in this offense.
I agree. You know, maybe a standard scoring go Fred Davis just for the sheer chance of more touchdown chances than
right.
Dallas Clark. PPR, I think you have to go with Clark right now.
All right, and on the Green Bay side, do I have to tell you to start Aaron Rodgers? Do I have to tell you to start Jordy Nelson, or who's that other guy I don't like?
I have no idea. You tell me. Randall Cobb, maybe?
Randall Cobb, yeah, that's
okay.
who I'm thinking. I completely blanked on his name. JerMichael Finley, here's a guy I'm warming up to, Rick. 2 years ago, he was in the upper echelons of tight ends. Awful year last year, everybody down. I'm starting to warm up on him. He got a lot of targets. He wasn't dropping them all this time, so I think you're safe to get JerMichael Finley out there. I think the guy we talk about, Rick's Eddie Lacy, against a tough defense last week, played fair, played reasonable, wasn't a big week, outperformed Giovanni Bernard, who we're going to be comparing him to this season. Mm-hmm. I like him this week. I really do. I think it's a better matchup. I think they run the ball. They showed some looks in the passing game. I think this is the kind of game where we're going to find out who Eddie Lacy really is, and I don't hesitate to start him this week.
No, I don't think you have any hesitation starting Packers. Look what New York torched them, even Philadelphia. I'm thinking the New York-Dallas game. But, no, Philadelphia had their way with them there for a while. I like Green Bay. I think Cobb's going to have a big day. Get him in there. And, you know, the real enigma of that offense after that performance last week, the way Rodgers spreads it around, you know, a lot of guys, James Jones, you know, they're taking him out of that offense. He's not going to be out of that offense all year. He's just going to be like he was last year, feast or famine. And, you know, yeah, I think he was second in the league last year in touchdowns. But the must starts are Nelson because he's healthy. That's the key, right?
He's healthy, and Rodgers is looking for him.
Exactly.
So, Rick, let's pick it. Washington and Green Bay.
I think a good game, but I like the Packers, 31-24.
Yeah, coming off a tough loss, a fantastic game on the road in San Francisco. I don't see Green Bay going 0-2. Yeah, solid offense. I like what Washington's doing. I liked RG3 last week. He looks healthy. He looks ready to go. But I agree, at home, home opener in Lambeau, I like Green Bay. So, Rick, just as a let's do a reset here. This is the Inside Slant on AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Give us a call, 646-478-4679. We'll answer your lineup questions. We got about an hour left here. Rick, another interesting, a divisional matchup, Tennessee at Houston.
You know, this is a interesting game. Now, a lot of people, I've seen you, don't overlook Tennessee this year. Obviously, they're improving. You know, I mean, they stifled Pittsburgh last week. I don't think they're going to be stifling Houston this week.
No.
Matt Schaub showed last week what he can do with that arm if need be. And that's the key with Houston, I think. Foster's liable to run wild this week. I really think, be it rushing or receiving and or, you know, put a little slash in there because I think they're going to utilize him. I think Tate's going to get a lot of work. I think Houston wins this fairly easily.
Okay, well, how about the fantasy implications for Tennessee, if you don't mind?
Chris Johnson, you're going to start him. There's no question about that.
I thought he looked pretty good. He didn't have the numbers, Rick. I thought he looked pretty good against Steelers last week. Seemed to be hitting the holes. He looked a little faster to me. He didn't have big numbers. Yeah, the whole offense wasn't moving. It was just a sloppy game. But I liked what I saw out of Chris Johnson. I was emboldened of my thoughts in him. I wasn't real high on him in the preseason. I liked what I saw from Chris Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chris Johnson higher than a lot of people were, I guess, on him as far as that goes. But he does look good. And we discussed some of the comments made while that 58-yard touchdown run he made in preseason, where he didn't just leave everybody in the dust like he used to. They still didn't catch him.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what I'm saying?
So maybe he didn't beat him by 10 yards. He only beat him by 5.
Exactly. And, you know, as long as he stays healthy, Kenny Britt has that opportunity, certainly has the talent to bust loose.
But will he do it?
My question is, do you want to gamble with Kenny Britt? And he's actually going to pop up in a couple of emails, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for starters, I think there's better options out there,
right.
But we'll save it for the questions. On the Houston side, Rick, like you said, Matt Schaub, here's a guy who doesn't get talked about as a starting fantasy quarterback because he can range wildly from 375 and 4 touchdowns to he could come out, they could still win by 21 and have 125 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. So you can't trust Matt Schaub at this point. Obviously, I agree with you, a chance for a big game from Arian Foster. Ben Tate, I wonder about. I know his name's probably going to come up in the questions where he did last week. This isn't going to be like that San Diego game. As long as Foster's healthy, unless you're in a 20-team league or something, I don't trust Ben Tate. Andre Johnson, clearly every week a number one fantasy receiver. This other guy's there, Rick, not ready to trust yet. You just never know. If the running game's going well, they're not going to throw enough to have the opportunities they had last week. So I think it comes down basically to Foster, Owen Daniels, obviously. I think he's a top 12 tight end, and obviously Andre Johnson, and that's all I'm feeling comfortable with there.
Okay. And there's other guys. Obviously, you have some options on both these teams, maybe as a flex spot, but, you know, is every day or must start, that's about it. Look, I like the Texans. They're in Houston, 37-20.
Yeah, I think Houston big as well. Rick, we got a call on the line, so let's take a break from around the league and check that out. Area code 860. How you doing this morning?
Hey, what's up, guys? Dean from Connecticut.
How you doing, Dean?
Good. Can you guys answer a question? Lineup question.
Sure can.
Yeah, it's just a standard 10-man league. This is only the second year I played fantasy. But, you know, man, every time I ask this question, I get a different answer. And I've called in a bunch of talk shows, called in Kellogg's Comments last night. But I can't get the same answer twice. So
all right, I'm hoping let's see if we can double up here.
Hopefully we can agree. At least you'll have it twice anyway.
All right, I got a flex spot. I got 4 guys to choose from. It's either got to be David Wilson, Jared Cook, Dwayne Bowe, are Manning's tight end, Julius Thomas.
Oh, there's no wonder you can't get the same answer twice.
And this is standard, you said? Or is it PPR?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
it's standard.
Okay, Rick, you handle it.
All right.
First,
I'm going to start out. I love what I saw out of Jared Cook last week. Even taking the PPR out, 141 yards, 2 touchdowns. He is going to be the go-to in that offense. Playing Atlanta, Atlanta's going to be flinging the ball everywhere. If St. Louis has any thought of staying in that game, they're going to throw the ball. He's going to be the number one target there. Basically uncoverable from what I've seen. He looks like Antonio Gates did 5 or 6 years ago. I know David Wilson's hanging out there, Rick, and I can see your wheels spinning. Coming off of last week, I don't know if I trust him yet. Cook, his name is number one that pops out at me right there. I don't trust Dwayne Bowe week in and week out. He can have a big week. He's going to have a lot of 4-catch-for-46-yard performances. Julius Thomas, he's interesting. Who's going to cover him in that offense? But there's a lot of miles to feed out there in Denver. I'm going to need to see it a couple more times before I trust it. For this week and this game versus Atlanta, Rick, I like Jared Cook.
Oh, boy, I wish old Dean could have gotten an agreement here. I'll be honest with you. Look, I loved what Eli did to Dallas' secondary last week. And, of course, it came a lot out of necessity because they were going up and down the field. But Dwayne Bowe is built for a big game. And, well, I tell you what, I'm not saying Cook's a bad start, but I like Dwayne Bowe in this situation.
What way are you leaning, Dean?
I think I'm kind of leaning Cook.
There you go. So we'll go with that. We'll forget Rick said anything
that's
at all.
All right.
Dwayne Bowe.
I'm jotting it down for next week because don't think I won't bring it up.
All
okay,
right.
Okay, well, yeah, if you guys are right, I'll have to get one of you a Ryan Matthews fathead and the other guy a Jangelo Williams fathead.
There we
perfect.
Go.
Perfect. Sounds good. Hey, thanks for calling, Dean. Have a
okay.
good day. Good
yep.
luck today.
Thank you.
All right, Rick, we got about 10 minutes left and a lot of games to get through, so let's try to pick up the pace a little bit here. Miami at Indianapolis.
Okay, I can already see David Wilson will run for about 180
oh,
yards.
Oh, yeah, 183 touchdowns.
All look like buffoons.
Yeah,
there.
No question about it.
Okay, I'm sorry. What did you just bring up there?
I said Miami at Indianapolis and make it quick.
Okay, Miami at Indianapolis. I'll tell you what, Miami edged out a win last week. You know, the Colts did the same thing. I'm starting to like Miami. I'm going Dolphins 23, Colts 21, and the Miami end. Look, if you drafted Lamar Miller, get him in there. He's going to get some yards against Indianapolis. You drafted him. You got to play him. I mean, you're probably not going to have a better option on your squad.
You probably not, but wow.
Yeah, I'm saying.
If you have anybody, if you have a bag of flour on your roster, I'd start him over Lamar Miller.
No. And, you know, Brian Hartline's good for a flex spot, maybe wide receiver 3. Jury's still out a little bit on Tannehill. I think the kid's going to work his way into, you know, being fantasy relevant before the season's over with, but I'm not willing to trust him right now. Obviously, you probably got somebody on your bench a lot better than him is it for an option. If not, shame on you. So, I mean, that's about it as far
Mike
as...
Mike Wallace?
I tell you what, Mike Wallace, I think he's one of these kind of guys, as much as I hate to say because I'm not high on him, but he obviously went wide receiver 1 on everybody's who's ever drafted him. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, that's not the point of this show. Obviously, you're going to start your Petersons and Charles and all that. We didn't mention him on the Kansas City game with Charles. So, but anyway, yeah, you're going to have him in there too. But.
Yeah. On the Indianapolis side, obviously, you're starting on Andrew Luck. He's a top 10 guy. Ahmad Bradshaw, that's the interesting one. Vic Ballard, freak ACL injury in practice, out for the year. As of right now, very disappointing for Bradshaw last week. I was high on him. We recommended him as a start and looked like absolute buffoons. As Vic Ballard got the bulk of the work and was more successful in the carries he did get. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stick with Bradshaw now, especially he's the only game in town. There's really nobody behind him there. So I like him. Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, Rick, still for me. I know we're all supposed to be high on him. Still a top-end wide receiver 3 for me. So depending on, I think his name's probably going to come up in a lot of lineup questions. And my answer is generally not going to be T.Y. Hilton. I like Miami in this game, Rick, going on the road. I wasn't impressed with what I saw out of Indianapolis against Oakland. Miami just looked atrocious last week against Cleveland. I think they're a better team. This is always a tough game, and I've just got a vibe, nothing more than that. Miami, I'm going to take by a field goal over Indianapolis. Rick, here's a game I really like from a fantasy perspective, Dallas at Kansas City.
Oh, there's no question about that. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know how many points they're going to score, but I bet you there's going to be a lot of yards racked up. And I like Tony Romo going into this game. Yeah, to me, Dallas has all the pieces, and Kansas City's really improving. You know, Dallas, who, you know, need I say, start Dez Bryant, nah. Start Tony Romo, start DeMarco Murray, start Miles Austin, start Jason Witten.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, they've got all the pieces.
I don't know if Miles Austin was an obvious start going into last week. I think he is going into this week. He's healthy, and he's going to get targeted by Romo.
And so, obviously, I'm saying if you've got an Austin on your roster, he's probably wide receiver 2, 3, flex, that
kind of
thing.
You have him as a flex
guy.
I'd love to have a 10-catch guy in my flex. Yeah. He's not going to do that every week, but he has that capability. Romo looks for him.
And I like this game. I think it's going to be a pretty good game. They're in Kansas City, but I like the Cowboys 24, Chiefs 20.
On the Kansas City side, I think it just comes down to Jamaal Charles will play today. He's all right. He'd be fine. So, obviously, you're getting him in your lineup. Dwayne Bowe, a low-end wide receiver, too. That's it for me, Rick, unfortunately, on the Kansas City side. I also like Dallas. Dallas by, maybe 2 touchdowns. I think Dallas really takes them to the woodshed here. San Diego, Rick, at Philadelphia.
San Diego showed some signs last week, and then they should have had the game won. They lost it. Philadelphia, you know, the Chip Kelly offense started off really hot against Washington. Then that game turned out to be close. Yeah, there's a couple of teams here that I'm not real sure they know how to win, but I think Philadelphia is more on its way up. San Diego is more on its way down. But on San Diego's side, you know, get Ryan Matthews in there. He's healthy, and you don't know how much longer he's going to be healthy.
Started off for good for him last week. It sort of tailed off, but
not sure about your quarterback situation, but I've got the feeling that Phillip Rivers certainly wasn't drafted as your quarterback one.
I don't think he was drafted.
A lot of leagues I know he wasn't. You know, and I'm not sure he's the guy to get in your lineup because you probably got a better option. But I tell you what, start watching Rivers. We all know that this guy can throw for 4,500 yards without question. But whether he has the tools to stay consistent enough to do that, I'm not willing to say get him in there. And then get Gates in there. I mean, I still think he's a fairly safe play, even though it wasn't a good week last week for him, which is kind of surprising as many points as they put on the board.
Yeah, no doubt about it. On the Philadelphia side, I don't need to tell you, LeSean McCoy. Michael Vick, Rick, boy, it looked good. I don't know if he's into that top 12 yet. I really don't. I think he's sitting right about 13, 14 for me. So if you have him as your number one, obviously you're going to play him. There's not a lot of guys ahead of that. I'm going to play him over. I think that's when you start talking about your Eli Manning, some of these guys. Give me a couple more weeks of Mike Vick before I make that decision. DeSean Jackson, I love this week. He's one of my big plays this week. No question about it. And Brent Celek, Rick, has sort of reemerged 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's sort of becoming the hot commodity. You didn't hear anything about him last year. There's a lot of tight ends out there. I'll play Brent Celek over. So, did you pick this game, Rick?
Of course I did.
All right.
Eagles 30, Chargers 24.
Yeah, I don't like the Chargers going across the country. I love watching this Eagles team play. They're going to score a lot of points. I like Philadelphia there. All right, Rick, we got 2 minutes and 6 games, so we really got to hit it hard. Detroit at Arizona.
I tell you what, now this game's interesting too. Arizona's already banged up. Larry Fitzgerald, he's a game time decision officially. Mendenhall also having hamstring problems, and actually he's probable. But Andre Roberts, you know, banged up a little bit. He's going to be in there, but you know their offense is banged up a little bit. Detroit, I like them. Get them in there. Obviously, Reggie Bush is a must-start. Matt Stafford.
Going to play this week.
Yeah.
There was question marks with him. He is going to play, so you have to play Reggie Bush.
And a lot of people are high on Ryan Broyles going into this year as maybe the heir apparent, but it certainly looks like Nate Washington's still the guy there, or Burleson.
Nate Washington's in Tennessee.
Exactly. But he's still the guy there. Is that taking a little heat off of Calvin? I look for Calvin to have a big day. And, you know, Joik Bell, you know, he's going to be inconsistent this year. But I tell you what, if they move the ball like they did last week, he'll get his share of work.
Yeah, no question about it. You sort of laid out the Arizona side as well. You're going to have to keep an eye on things as far as Larry Fitzgerald goes. I think with the health concerns, Rashard Mendenhall's a running back 3 this week. If he plays, you can obviously get him in your lineup in this game. Give me Detroit going on the road and winning by a field goal. Detroit never blows anybody out.
Yeah, I have Lions 26, Cardinals 20.
All right, Rick, New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
I tell you what, Tampa Bay, everything that's going on in Tampa Bay is just ugly right now. We all know, you know, the Shiano Freeman feud. You know, apparently they voted Josh Freeman out as captain. Freeman's camp comes out and says that they fixed the vote, blah, blah, blah. And that just turns into a mess. And something's going to have to give in Tampa. That's no question about that. And I think the Saints are going to be doing the giving, and they're going to be giving it a loss.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Rick.
The Saints, I'm not even going there. You have Saints, get them in there. Lance Moore, maybe a flex spot, something like that. But obviously the Grahams, the Breeze, the Colston, you know, Sproles in PPR, definitely get him in there. The rest of the running backs, you know, they're a real roll of the dice.
Yeah, no question about it. So, Rick, let's take this in quick hit fashion these last few games. Let's just pick winners or if there's anything that sticks out to you these games rather than break it down. So you have New Orleans. Obviously, I have New Orleans big, just total turmoil down there.
38-24.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Tampa Bay could find 24 points. Denver at the Giants, Rick. I love this game. Manning Bowl.
Oh, I look for points all over the place. I got Broncos 38, Giants 34.
Sounds about right to me, Rick. I agree with that. I think Eli has the big turnover at the end. Big Brother wins again. I like Denver as well. Jacksonville at Oakland.
Very, very interesting game. I like Jacksonville. I think you get MJD in there. Now, obviously, you're going to anyway, I would assume, but I think he's a must-start against the Raiders. But I like the Raiders, 27, Jags, 21, because the biggest bright spot to me on Jacksonville is that Gabbert is out.
Yeah, that definitely helps. Love what I saw out of Terrell Pryor last week. Can't bank on that 100 yards rushing, but I think he played quite well. I like Oakland at home. Tough to travel. It works both ways. Tough to travel from the East Coast all the way out there. I like Oakland in a squeaker. I hope between the two of them they can find their way to double digits. I like Darren McFadden this week as well. Rick, game of the week, Sunday night football, San Francisco at Seattle.
Huge division game. And I tell you what, I like Seattle's big corners matching up against Bolden this week. I don't see a 200-yard game by any stretch of the imagination. I like Seahawks 21, 49ers 17.
All right, Rick. I like the other side. I like San Francisco going up there, stealing one in a tough place to win a game. The only thing to point out, you see a lot and a lot of start sits on a lot of websites, and I've heard a lot of questions. People worried about Marshawn Lynch. As good as that 49ers defense is, all Marshawn Lynch does is rush for 100 yards against them. So don't be afraid. Don't get cute, as we like to say. Get Marshawn Lynch in your lineup. But I like San Francisco, Rick, and a late field goal.
Well, my question to people like that is, if you're benching Marshawn Lynch, who are you putting in?
Maybe in a 10-team league, you got somebody you can make a reasonable argument for.
Maybe.
But that's about it. And Monday Night Football, Rick, before we get to Seth here, our loathsome Steelers at Cincinnati.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's a mess right now, but that also means they may play a great game. You know,
as they're wont to do
night.
In Cincinnati,
exactly.
In prime time. That's what they do.
But one of these teams is going 0-2, and unfortunately, I'm going Bengals 24, Steelers 20.
Yeah, if Cincinnati had won last week, I might think they'd be primed for the upset, but I agree, Cincinnati, the best team in this division, not going to go 0-2, so I agree with you. I think it's going to be closer than you think. I don't know. There's no surprise start sits here. At all. Obviously, there's no running backs for the Steelers. Don't bail on Antonio Brown. As bad as things are going to be, he's going to be the number one target there. But I agree, Cincinnati drops our Steelers to 0-2 and what's going to be a long season. Thank God the Pirates are playing well.
Yeah.
All right, Rick. Well, on the line live from Ralph Wilson Stadium in beautiful Orchard Park, New York, it is Seth Young of StarFantasyLeague.com. Seth, how's it going today?
Gentlemen, doing well. How about you?
How's the party up there in Buffalo?
It's just starting for us. We pulled in a few minutes ago. It's a good scene here. A lot of barbecues, lots of drinking.
That is a cool place to go to a game. I've been up there several times. It's only about a 2 or 3 hour run from where we're at here. And it's kind of cool not being in the city, being out in the suburbs and just surrounded by parking lots. Now, generally I was wearing Steeler colors, so I wasn't real welcome, but it was just a go and watch a game.
It's awesome here. We've got great seats for the game, too. We're on the 50-yard line, a couple rows up, courtesy of Zach Stanley at Star Fantasy Leagues. And we see a ton of party buses, a lot of trailers, lots of people with pickups and minivans here barbecuing and drinking. It's looking like it's going to be a great day. The weather's beautiful, too.
Yeah, I know it's beautiful here in western Pennsylvania. So that Star Fantasy League's rolling well. Week one went well. Sadly, I didn't finish in the money in any of my leagues. Couldn't find those value plays. What type of action you got going on this week?
We've got even more money we're giving away this week. We're almost up to 12 grand in guaranteed prize pools, along with our cash games. We've got one great event that's still some room in it. It's a $55, $5,000 guaranteed event. So you could, for $55, you can win your share of $5,000, or for $11, you can come win your share of $2,000 this week. Most of our games are filling, so if you haven't registered yet, now is the time to do it. Otherwise, you're going to get locked out of them today.
Yeah, well, since you're up there in Orchard Park, what are some of the value plays you see on Buffalo or Carolina this week?
EJ Manuel's priced really well this week, and against the Panthers D is a little underrated, but I think EJ is going to put up a great game. You know, they've got to win. They just got to win this week if he's going to, you know, really make his statement. I really like D'Angelo Williams this week. He's priced very well in Star Fantasy Leagues, under $7,000. I think he's going to put up over 100 yards on the ground against the Bills D, which gave up a lot to the Patriots last week. And I really like Steve Smith and Cam Newton's price well, too, this week also. So those are all really good plays that you can put in your lineup and just stack it with some other studs by saving money on these guys.
Yeah, no doubt. D'Angelo, a guy I've gotten into a lot of lineups and at Star Fantasy Leagues, like the value there. So we have to do it. I know this is to talk about Star Fantasy Leagues, but this has become a Patriots segment every week. What did you make of Tom Brady losing his mind all night on Thursday? They ever going to come?
Do we really have to talk about this?
Yeah, I think we do.
The Patriots won. It was an ugly game, but they won.
Ranked, that's for sure.
It was terrible. It was sloppy. I don't know why they kept throwing to Dobson when he kept dropping the ball. I thought Tompkins was going to break out. Edelman had a great game with a lot of catches, 13 catches, but they were all for like 3 yards. So if you got a PPR league, he's a great pick. But with Amendola out, I mean, somebody's going to have to step up and really catch the ball there. It's tough. I think the Patriots are a generous 2-0 right now. I think they have a tough road ahead of them.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, it's interesting. I do like what I saw from these young guys. They make plays, the Tompkins play that ended up being overturned. They look good. What I would be concerned about there is just lack on the same page, which generally is something that doesn't happen on a Bill Belichick team. Tom Brady's reaction,
yep.
That could go two ways. Does it embolden them? Do they get better? Do they build on that? Or do they lose all respect for the team? Does it come undone?
You know, I think this is a really good test of whether or not, I mean, I don't want to say whether or not Tom Brady's the real deal, because clearly he is, but he's got young receivers. He's got to bring them up to his level. Dobson was getting open a lot, but he had butterfingers. I mean, he's got to catch the ball. Tompkins looked great in that end zone run. Unfortunately, he couldn't hold on. But what I was really impressed by was Stephen Hill on the Jets. He really made the most of his time. He's looking like a viable wide receiver in a lot of fantasy formats.
Yeah, and it's just whether or not that offense can stay clicking, and they're going to have to run the ball. And, of course, we saw some signs out of Powell and Ivory, although that offense is – not high powered. If they can just sustain some drives, he can certainly be viable. That's for sure. Now, being a Patriot guy, you're up there. You're neutral right now. How are you seeing the Carolina Buffalo game? Are you rooting against Buffalo, or are you just going to be a cat observer?
I'm wearing my old Lee Evans jersey because I like to root for the Bills because they never win. It's a lot of fun when, you know, the Patriots are my team, and it's hard to be a fan of two teams in the same division. But I've always liked the Bills. They're always underdogs. But looking at this from a neutral standpoint, because I really don't have a dog in this fight, I see it being a close game, and I see D'Angelo Williams really going off today. I think the Panthers are going to win.
Yeah, I agree. Going to be a tough game. One more before we get you out of here. Something getting back to the daily league format. Something I'm curious about. When we saw what the tight ends did last week, and the tight end position in your daily leagues? Just from a strategy standpoint, something I struggled with. The amount of your budget you're willing to spend on the tight end position when you saw what Jared Cook did, you have Jimmy Graham higher. Are you looking for your values at tight end, or are you going to go ahead and spend the top money at the tight end position?
There is a ton of upside at tight end this week. Jared Cook is the third most expensive tight end behind Jimmy Graham and Jason Witten, and that's because of his performance. I've always been high on Jared Cook. I think he's a great player. But some great value picks this week are, of course, Julius Thomas, who's got a lot of upside playing in at Giant Stadium, and Brandon Myers, who I think is gonna look good. He had a couple red zone targets last week for the Giants and playing a prolific Denver offense. I think that he's got a high upside play for very cheap. You can get him for just over $5,000 on Star Fantasy Leagues with a $100,000 salary cap. So you can definitely save some money with him there and pick up, you know, really stack it at running back with, say, LeSean McCoy, Reggie Bush, Adrian Peterson, and a couple other guys there.
And that's what I was looking at. And it seems like your team, you can make or break a team on that tight end position if you can find that value. Well, Seth, we'll let you get back to the party up there and let you have a good time. Why don't you tell them one more time where they can be found and how they can get signed up?
Sure, guys. Check out StarFantasyLeagues.com. You can sign up for an account, make a deposit, and get in our real money games today. You can play for your share of just under $12,000 this week. If you don't want to deposit money, still come sign up and play for free. We give away $100 each week. You buy in for nothing, and you could win real money. It's a lot of fun. Come check us out.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, casual players, but they haven't done it before. You know, that's just a great thing to really get your feet wet. Get in there. You can play for free. You can actually win something, and you can learn what you're doing, and it's not cost you money as you learn.
Yeah, great thing.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm sorry, Seth. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, you can also, besides the free roll, you can actually enter free tournaments where you can win our version of points called Star Points. And if you earn enough Star Points, you can use those points to buy into real money events also. It acts as it's our currency. It acts as real money. So you can come play for free and really learn how to play before you dive into the real cash.
Fantastic. Great thing, especially for the beginner daily fantasy league player. So Seth Young, StarFantasyLeagues.com. We really appreciate you joining us there from Buffalo. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure, guys. Looking forward to it.
Have fun, Seth.
All right. Thank you to Seth. Rick, before we get Scott on, we got about 4 minutes left. We actually have a call. Been holding for quite a while, so let's get to it. Area code 207. How you doing today?
Hey, not bad, guys. Mighty Riot in the chat room. I just had a quick question for you. I got Celek going as my starting tight end in a 0.5 PPR. If I throw out a couple names, just want to see if you guys think there's anybody that I should be picking up and starting over him. I got Dallas Clark on the waiver wire. I got Tyler Eifert on the wire. And I was actually thinking about Jordan Reed from Washington. Any of those names intrigue you guys?
Jordan Reed intrigues me. His name's been popping up this week. Look, I think Brent Celek has become a huge part of this offense. I think you're going to see him slide into that unquestionable number one tight end status as we go forward. Loved what I saw last week. On this, Dallas Clark, I like. I've gone on and on about it for weeks now. Rick, I know you don't agree with that. But on that list, I like Brent Celek. And in a list of general 12 to 15 tight ends, Brent Celek's right in there. I plug him in all year and don't even think about it.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the safer play for you, too, to be honest with you. Look, I'm starting to warm a little bit to the Dallas Clark thing, but I still think he's over the way past his prime. Yeah, coming from someone
who knows,
I hate to say that.
A fellow octogenarian, yes.
But anyway, no, I have to agree with Rick as much as it pains me. He's a safer play. Look, Reed is getting, you know, some attention.
You know, you just called.
I want to see him a little bit more. I want to see Reed a little bit, but I think Celek is your bet there.
And you just called Dallas Clark open. You're probably 20 years his senior. How's that make you feel?
Yeah, I'm not very good about starting him, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so it looks like...
All right, guys, I appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Good luck this week.
Thanks.
All right, Rick, well, if you can have something to talk about for about 2 minutes here, we will... let's give out the call-in number one more time, 646-478-4679. I'm going to ring up our buddy Scott Fish from FFOasis.com. He'll bring the machine on to settle all these heated debates.
Okay, yeah, we'll use the old announcer thing. We're going to bring in Scott Fish for the fish tank. But
the fish tank.
I don't know. That just got a weird. But no, there's a lot of good games this week. I think.
There's that ignorant Gertie. Slut Gertie. So now let's try and dial Scott up one more time while you're talking about Miami's defense.
Honest
to Pete. Let's see. Add people to this call. There's Scott.
Please call.
Reconnected, Rick. I don't know what to do. I don't know what
we
to do.
We are now looking for a technical engineer for the asylum.
We can't pay you, but I will buy you sandwiches. I recognize this number, Rick. So before, here we go. We got Scott trying to.
Scott says it's calling him, but it hangs up immediately.
Yeah, let's see. See if we can add to group call if that'll work. All right, we're back on the air, Rick. I am at a loss as to what to do. I wonder if there's any chance Scott could give us a ring at 646-478-4679 and we could do it this way. In the meantime, Rick, while we think about that, why don't you talk to, I recognize this number, Rick, at area code 609. I believe this is our boy Jersey in the house.
I bet you.
Hey, gentlemen, we got Jersey here. Good morning. How's everybody doing on such a beautiful Sunday? How you guys doing?
Oh, not my. I tell you what, Jersey, we are going to come up with something. When you come on, everybody's going to know. It's going to say Jersey or something like that. Anyway, what the fuck's your mind?
Hey, I beat Peyton Manning, blew him up there with his 78 points. I won 176 for 166. So it's all about having a balanced team, not just one guy. That's why you don't take a quarterback early. You go with Stafford in the fifth. My question to you is, and again, I would not normally talk this story, but I'm thinking ahead. Backups. Here's my scenario. The problem is I have Ben Roethlisberger as my backup. Pryor's available going forward, and so is Phillip Rivers. One of them could be picked up down the road because Roethlisberger, I think, is going to struggle. Also, my defense is Cincinnati, who I go with. I have the Giants. The Eagles are available, but they're a week 12. But also, there's Kansas City and Cincinnati. Kansas City has San Diego, and I think the Titans have them in week 12 would be Oakland. Again, I'm looking ahead of time because my starting team is loaded. What do you like about those picks? Any advice on there? It's unique. I normally wouldn't do it this early, but this league, they scarf people up real quick.
Yeah. Read them real quick once again here. I missed a couple.
Okay.
With the
touchdowns, with the quarterbacks, it's a point for every 20 yards, 300 yard bonus points and so forth. I keep Roethlisberger as my backup, or do I take Rivers or Pryor? And then the defense would be drop the Giants as my secondary defense, which backs up the Bengals for either the Eagles, the Titans, or Kansas City.
Okay, let's go to the quarterback thing first. I mean, who's your starting quarterback?
I got Stafford.
Okay, I mean, you're going to be starting him all the time. Yeah,
yep.
If you're basically looking for one, maybe couple of games in case Stafford gets hurt, something like that, I actually think, to be honest with you, Rivers might have the most upside. Look, Ben's Benny's having a nice year last year, but he takes a lot of hits. He was banged up himself, so you're kind of rolling the dice with him as well. And it's not like you're really banking the season on this play here, so I would think either – you know, Ben would probably be out, and you go with Pryor or Rivers, to be honest with you. Yeah, Pryor, I don't know. Obviously, you're not going to get the 100 yards rushing with him all the time, so I just think Rivers has the most upside as far as throwing for yards.
Yeah, I think I'd trust Rivers over Ben right now. And he'd be,
yeah.
This would have sounded ridiculous just seven days ago. But now this team is just an absolute mess, so I definitely like Rivers there. When you look at your defenses, you saw what Kansas City did last week. I don't expect that out of them all the time. But when you're talking fantasy football, I don't necessarily need that shutdown defense. A ball-hawking kind of defense with the chance to score, Look, the Giants are going to play in a lot of shootout games. It seems that's the way they go. I like Kansas City's ability to turn their ball over, their special teams play. I think I wouldn't mind rolling the dice based on matchups playing Kansas City more than I would the Giants, especially if you're talking about a backup. Go ahead and go for the upside there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to agree there because, you know, it's, again, you're looking at a backup defense. So, right. I mean, you know, unless somebody really emerges, you know, with a lot of huge games in a row, I mean, you're going to have Cincinnati in there anyway. So, I mean, I like Kansas City. They're an improvement. And, you know, I don't know if Miami's out there, but there's another shutdown defense there.
Yeah, I got them in my other league. Now you just have basically the Titans who have Oakland in Week 12, and you have Kansas City who has Washington and Washington in Week 12, and the Eagles are on a bye. So they were the three best defenses available. You know what I mean? You had the Lions, too, but you never know what the Lions are going to do. And I just thought that, you know, if I scarf up one of these, it just makes me better for that thing because it's like you said, the Giants, with their secondary, they're going to be in shootouts and they might not get a lot of turnovers, but they might give up a lot of points and yardage, and that kind of hurts me. So that's why I'm just trying to, you know, look ahead.
I think maybe might be the best bet right there. They got probably the weaker schedule of just about any of them too. So
yeah, no question about it. Jersey, it was great to hear.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate your voice again, man. And hopefully, we won't come up with some stupid stuff like that anymore. Hopefully, it'll be better stuff. But thanks for the help, man. I appreciate it. Best of luck to you guys.
Good to look ahead. Good luck this week. All right, Rick, we have a caller on the line. I'm wondering if it's maybe Scott. I hope not. Is that you?
It's me. How's the mic sound this week?
Oh, not too bad. Sounds great. Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with this. We'll come up with a better plan for next week. We'll be more prepared. I'm going to blame Rick on this. All right, Rick. Well, we blew 7 minutes of Scott's time. Of course, you can find Scott at ffoasis.com, where you can find the machine, the decider between two dummies like I am at Scott Fish. I hope I got that right on Twitter. At Scott Fish 24. Rick, let's just jump into it and hit the first question. Knock out as many as we can before we got to get out of here.
All right, Scott, oil up the machine here, and we're got a good one starting off right now. PPR, McFadden or Gore?
McFadden or Gore? Oh, I didn't even have this on my thing for some reason.
In an extra one. I said if I got intriguing ones, I would send.
Oh, support. Yeah, I know that. That's quite all right. I can answer it pretty easily. I think I'd still go with McFadden just based on Seattle's front seven and the matchup versus the Jaguars.
Oh, I do too. 100%.
I got the machine up here, and it also has McFadden by a small margin.
Yeah, we'll be unanimous here. We did this a lot last week too. I don't think the only place I'll disagree with the machine, I don't think it's close. I love McFadden's matchup this week. I think he sets up for a big week. Gore, I think this has become the Kaepernick show. I think you're going to see the good performance. You're going to see his numbers dip, and especially with McFadden and his upside this week. We're going to be unanimous, Rick. It's scary. I don't like it.
Okay, that is scary. You know, everything agrees. All four of us agree. That's terrible. That's,
so probably if you were smart, you'd go with Frank Gore this week.
And we're going to surprise Scott one more time here because a late one came in from his buddy Chris Gooden at FFOasis. Pierre Thomas or Gio Bernard, full-point PPR?
Oh. Wow, that one's really close. I actually have this on my list. I don't know how that happened, but it's really close. The machine has it, Pierre Thomas, just barely, but my gut says Gio Bernard gets a lot more chances this week. And I like St. Louis's front a little better than I like Pittsburgh. So I think I'm going to lean Gio.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati is going to be able to run the ball a little bit. What I saw last week with that split, with as much work as the law firm got, I think I'm going to have to wait to see Bernard get a little bit of workload before I'm going to trust him. As much as I don't trust Pierre Thomas, I think I'm confident, or at least right now, if I had to pick who was going to get more work, I'm going to go against the machine and Scott, and I'm going to go with Pierre Thomas.
On first blush, I would agree with you, Rick, but the more I think about it, they're just, you know, you got Sproles, you got Ingram, you got
a lot of mouths to feed.
And it just, the split is at least with two people with Cincinnati. And I think that's what leans me more towards Bernard.
All right, so on a 3-4 majority, I guess it's Gio Bernard, and when it's Pierre Thomas, you'll never hear the end of it on Tuesday, Rick, just so you know.
That's right. Okay, here's a question we had. Go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to say, just to clarify, Pierre Thomas was actually the machine's pick, just slightly.
Yeah.
Me and the machine. I am the machine, Rick.
Yeah, well, Scott and
dirty secret behind the curtain, Rick Flieger is the machine.
Yeah, you're the Mr. of Oz, aren't you? Some angry little man running around with dwarfs, that's what you are. Yeah. Okay, Winslow or Fred Davis this week in PPR?
Winslow already played.
He played.
Unfortunately, that's too bad. Because that was a good question.
It was.
That really was. But actually, you did answer that on Twitter. Why don't you enlighten everyone?
And I was wrong.
Go ahead,
said Winslow.
Them.
He had a bad game. I am intrigued by Winslow in that offense. But if I had to pick now, I'd go with Fred Davis.
Oh, good. Okay, good. There you go. Yeah. Okay. We have to start 2.5-point PPR. Okay?
Ooh, let me
so
get
your
pen
little
out.
Pens I ready here. Randall Cobb. Denarius Moore, Mike Williams, Miles Austin.
Oh, Rick, I think that's a no-brainer. I think that's Miles Austin and Cobb. I don't think there's even a discussion there.
I don't either. I mean, I would throw Mike Williams in there because I do like Mike Williams, but Tampa Bay is a mess, and I'm going to have to go with Austin while he's healthy.
Wow. I also think it's a no-brainer, but I picked two different players. I have Randall Cobb in a Washington game that I'd be shocked if the teams don't put up 50 combined points at least. So I'd want Cobb in there. And then I have Mike Williams. He's just Josh Freeman's red zone love. He loves him in the red zone. The last half of last year, even last week, I expect him to get another touchdown. And that you're already 6 points ahead of the game at that point. And I don't like New Orleans' defensive backfield, so I'm taking Mike Williams and Randall Cobb. Let me get the machine in here. Randall Cobb at about 11, Mike Williams 8.4, Moore and Austin both under 8, so it picks Cobb and Williams.
Wow, so an even split there, Scott and the machine like Mike Williams. Mike Williams, interesting. You got B-Jack there. He's going to be the go-to guy. Williams seems to be the guy that ends up in the end zone. It's tough to go against him. They're going to be down early against New Orleans. Maybe it's not as close as I thought it did, but after seeing that 10-catch performance out of Miles Austin, I just got stars back in my eyes, Rick.
Well, yeah, like I said, I mean, I think Mike Williams with me obviously was in the discussion, but I'm just not liking what's shaking out in Tampa right now. And, I don't know if they're going to – it could be a scenario where Josh Freeman steps up and they have a great game, or things could start imploding, and that's what I'm afraid of, to be honest with you.
All right, Rick.
All right, since I'm the reader, I keep going, and here's one real simple, Luck or Rivers?
Look, I like what Philip Rivers did last week. I don't think he's as bad as we made him out to be, even with the lack of weapons around him, but Andrew Luck's in every week start, plug him in, play. This guy is a top 12 quarterback. I don't think there's much to discuss there.
I was going to say, I'm with you. Luck is easily over Rivers. I don't even think it's close. The machine also says 18 to 14 is their prediction for points, so they have Luck as well.
Yeah, so that's a clean sweep there, no question about that. See, and that's the thing with a lot of fantasy owners, that you see a big game out of somebody and you think all of a sudden that's going to be an every week thing. And, let's not forget Philip Rivers the last few years has just about as many interceptions as he does touchdowns.
Yeah,
so.
And that's what it comes down to with me. He's going to put up the yardage numbers, but don't get crazy. That's all I'm going to say. Maybe if he performs like this 8 weeks from now, maybe we discuss it, but I think Andrew Luck always comes out ahead there.
All right. Okay, a little interesting question here. Not necessarily one for the machine, I would say, but it says Cecil Shorts is available off waivers. Should I drop Pettigrew, Peed, or Hopkins for him?
I'd drop any three of them for him personally. Maybe less so Hopkins. At that one we can discuss, but Pettigrew and Peed, definitely. Why not?
I think he's wanting your choice of who to drop.
Oh, which one to drop? Drop Pete. I think, drop Pete. I think you're waiting for Richardson to get hurt. Pettigrew may have some value anyhow. Pete, I don't like, maybe if you're a Richardson owner, you drop Pettigrew, but otherwise I go ahead and drop Pete.
I think I'd probably drop Pettigrew because you probably have a starting tight end, and I think that's a safe drop. You can pick up a plug-and-play tight end just about anywhere. Obviously, Hopkins you want to keep because there's a lot more upside with him. Pete, on the other hand, if Richardson does go down, that's not necessarily his job either with Zach Stacy in there. So, you know, I think either Pettigrew or Pete.
Well, I had this as – I figured he should drop Pettigrew, and I don't even think it was in the ballpark of close. I don't even think they entered the parking lot of the ballpark of close on this one. Running backs are so hard to come by this year that I just keep Pete on the potential. I love DeAndre Hopkins, and watching the game last week, Pettigrew wasn't even the guy they had in the red zone, and he wasn't even in as much as I thought he'd be on the regular plays. They had Joseph Foya in the a lot of the plays, and 6'7" pass catching tight end. I think Pettigrew is going to see his snaps decline. You can get a guy as good as Pettigrew any day of the week on the waiver wire. I'd drop him right now. I hope he already did it.
Yeah, no, this is a guy. Let's see, 2 and 3 years ago, 83 catches and 77 catches, and he has just basically disintegrated in less than a year and a half. And like you said, you know, he's getting clearly outplayed by Fioria, and I think his snaps are going down.
All right, you guys talk. Drop Pettigrew.
I was also going to say something that's not really recognized in those stats. Somehow Pettigrew just kills the Vikings. A quarter of his fantasy points, one of those 2 years, came against the Vikings in two games. So the other weeks, he's not actually super consistent.
Wow, that's an awesome tidbit there. I really like that.
Okay, let's move on as we solve that guy's problems to this is a PPR question. Who would you start in a flex spot? Ryan Matthews, Isaac Redman, James Jones, Lance Moore.
Oh, boy. James, I throw Isaac Redman out. I can't imagine he even touches the ball this week. I certainly hope he doesn't. Lance Moore was the last, right?
Yeah.
I think it's Ryan Matthews hands down, just based on attempts, snaps. I like Lance Moore. You just never know what you're going to get in New Orleans on a week-to-week basis. Redman's nothing. James Jones. Look, Jordy's back. Jordy's healthy. He's the number three guy there now. Maybe the number four behind Jermichael Finley. Just on attempts alone, you always have fear with Ryan Matthews, what the disappointment he's been. But on this list, Ryan Matthews, I think, is head and shoulders above everyone else.
No, I do, too. I mean,
and in a flex spot, especially.
Definitely. I don't think it's close. Redman, you know, fumbles more balls than he carries. And, you know, James Jones and Lance Moore are both going to be super inconsistent. Sure, you're going to have some huge gains probably from both of them here or there. But as long as he's healthy, I think Ryan Matthews hands down.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't even put any better than you guys said. I have Ryan Matthews hands down, and so does the machine. I do have a guest follow-up question. I've been getting a lot of James Jones, Lance Moore, and Kenny Britt questions. Do you have who would you go with on those three? Like, those two are in this question, so I just thought I'd throw it out there as well.
Now, who was it? Lance Moore, James Jones, and Kenny Britt?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions about them this week.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, another one we're going to be hitting on has two of those three anyway. I don't know.
Let's just do that then. That's fun.
Well, I guess for my money, I think out of those three, I would have to go Lance Moore just because of the high-octane New Orleans offense. Last week he was very quiet, but certainly has the potential to really light it up. I don't like Britt. I think he's as inconsistent as any of them, even though he's the best receiver on that team. And James Jones, like Rick said, I think he could be number four behind Finley on Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, you take the touchdowns away from James Jones after what he did last year. If that doesn't happen, yardage-wise, receptions, James Jones, it was the touchdowns that made James Jones last year. It was Jordy Nelson not being there. I don't see much value in James Jones. Here's a guy I'm not thinking about playing much in the week to week. most upside is probably Kenny Britt. I mean, in any week he could go off. We've seen him do it. How many, when he was healthy, beginning of last year, the beginning of the year before, huge gains we have. But we're going to have to see it. We're going to have to see what Locker has. I think Lance Moore, he's not exciting. He's not going to put up anything huge, but I think you know you're going to get some production out of him. I don't know that about the other two.
Gotcha, perfect.
What was that?
Oh, I just said gotcha, perfect. Maybe I need to get my mic a little closer, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I do see the next question here. I wish I'd looked at that before I asked that follow-up.
Okay. And there's only two of the three, and I think Lance Moore is kind of a little different animal than Greg Jennings, but we'll get to that. In fact, we might as well just do that now. You pick one of these three for a flex position, PPR, and they did nothing for me last week. James Jones, Kenny Britt, Greg Jennings.
Ah, so you take Lance Moore out. Now do I take Greg Jennings over either of those two? Boy, Rick, that's tough. I'm going to let you start this show. I'm going to have to think about that one for a minute.
Well, okay. I mean, we got Lance Moore out of there. We've already covered the James Jones and the Kenny Britt thing. Greg Jennings, quiet last week. I think three or four catches, and Simpson went off. I still think Jennings has more upside out of those three. You're picking for a flex spot, PPR. I think if I'm looking flex, probably the safest pick, I'm going to Greg Jennings.
Yeah, as I think about it, as you're talking, just maybe on name value alone is where I'm getting hung up. I know what Greg Jennings can do. I just have no idea what Kenny Britt's going to do. James Jones, I think I do know what he's going to do, and I don't like it. I don't like any of the three, but out of those three, for me, Greg Jennings.
Okay, I guess I'm a little different than you guys. I'd love for Greg Jennings to have a great game for my Vikings, but the machine has James Jones just slightly over Greg Jennings, with Britt trailing really far behind. Personally, I think I'd almost just lean James Jones just for the upside of a high-scoring Washington Green Bay game, and also because I guess it's going to be there's a 100% chance of rain in Chicago today. So I'm not loving that for Ponder throwing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand it is raining in Chicago, which kind of, Jennings being a possession guy, more or less, I kind of like him in that way. But I can see the upside for James Jones. I think that's why he keeps coming up and keeps coming up in these questions week after week. Look, we're only in the second week, and we've had about 10 Jones questions.
Yeah, we'll have to let that shake out. So that's a tough one. I wouldn't want to be in that spot every week. Rick, why don't we get one more in? I'm going to try and get out of here a little early before we jump on 1360 in Cincinnati.
Okay, we could do that. Joique Bell or Rashard Mendenhall in a half-point PPR?
Oh, Joique Bell, Rashard Mendenhall banged up, expected to play. Joique Bell, look, all the upside in the world with this guy, but Reggie Bush healthy, expected to go. What's Joique Bell's workload going to be? Based on that alone, it's close, and I'll be interested to see what the machine says on that one. Based on the workload alone, I'm going to have to go with Rashard Mendenhall, but you could convince me the other way real easily.
Joique Bell on the surface is, he's going to get a lot of catches and this, that, and the other, but not every week's going to be like that. I can't see Reggie Bush having 100 and some yards receiving and so forth, and Joique Bell falling right behind with catches and so forth. Mendenhall, the starting running back, he had like 60 some yards, I think, last week rushing. If he's playing, hopefully a hamstring's okay. I guess he's all right. I think I'd lean towards Mendenhall too.
Yeah, the machine is with you picking Mendenhall in just a landslide. It's not even close. I'm with Fleeger, though. I can see the argument for Bell. He's I wouldn't. Sorry. I think I got unplugged for a second. I wouldn't want Mendenhall up against Detroit's front seven that just annihilated Peterson for three, basically four quarters, except for one play. So the half PPR is just not enough. I think I would lean Mendenhall, but it's really a lot closer than the machine makes it out to be for me.
Yeah, it's not one that to me is that easy either. It's tough.
All right, Rick, well, we got 25 after. I think let's go ahead and wrap it up here. Rick Scott, sorry for all the technical issues. Thank you for calling in. We'll get in touch this week and find a better way to do it. Maybe we'll call you on a phone line so you don't have to be dialing in. So, Scott, why don't you tell them everywhere they can find you one more time?
Scottfish24 on Twitter, FFOasis on Twitter. You can find my stuff and all my staff stuff at FFOasis.com. And I'd like to thank J.J. Zacharyson and NumberFire for the use of their machine here to settle some debates. And I think that's about it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we want to thank J.J. too, because it adds a little toy and a little just some fun things that you can pull up with that. And it's a great tool.
All right, one more time. Thanks, Scott. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right, later, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, Rick. Well, like I said, we're going to get out of here. We have some calls on the line. I apologize. We're not going to get to them this afternoon. So great show once again. A lot of great questions. Keep them coming at Asylum Football, asylumfootball@gmail.com. Obviously, we will answer each and every one that we can. Everyone gets a response. Most of them seem to end up on the air, Rick. So we'll be back Tuesday on the Tuesday Night Blitz. We will be back. We'll recap all the Week 2 action. Thanks to Scott Fish at FFOasis.com. Thanks to Seth Young at StarFantasyLeagues.com. Still got about an hour and a half to get your lineup in there. And thank you to the Real Fan Sports Network, rsportsradio.blogspot.com. I got it that time, Rick. You can check out the show there. They play the archives. They played us live here this morning. Definitely appreciate that. When we go off the air, hop on Fox Sports 1360.com, and you can hear your boy Fleeger breaking down the tight end position, giving some sleepers, some
and
studs.
Big Tex, if you can make the commute from Texas up here every week and be our engineer,
you're hired.
Come on,
buddy. Don't you get a feeling Big Tex lives in Wyoming or in Seattle or
North
something?
Dakota.
That's just what I'm guessing. So that's it. Thanks again one more time, AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Until Tuesday night on the Blitz, we'll see you.
Take care.
Is it? All right. You never know. You get a lot of northern guys once they call themselves Big Tex.
Yeah.
So that's good. He's a legit Big Tex. I like that. I like Big Tex. I find out he was from New York City. We weren't going to get along.
Yeah, oh, but he hates Cowboys. Which I like
even better. Who's he like? Who's he a fan?
All right. Who do you like? We're still on, Dick. How do I get back to you?
There you go.
He likes the Redskins.
The Redskins.
I bet he has a lot of. Good thing you are 6'5 and 230.
Yeah, being down there in Dallas. They should send him, being that size, they should send him up to Lambeau today and join that protest.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell those guys to calm down up there. All right, Rick, let's get out of here before my phone rings on the air.
You betcha.